You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Made it to a Thursday, Dan and the Danettes. Dan Patrick Show, 24 hours ago, just rumors, speculation. And now, 24 hours later, one of the biggest deals we've had in NBA history as far as teams, draft picks, and some star power there. You'd like to get in touch with the program? You can, a variety of ways. Your opinion is always valued here. You can dial us up, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle, @DPShow. Before I get to the Harden stuff, Adam Schefter tweeting moments ago, Jacksonville and former Ohio State head coach Urban Meyer are in advanced talks to see if they can finalize a deal per league sources. They met again yesterday. Also understand this, that if you hire Urban Meyer, that means he is going to be the GM for at least a little while and maybe have final say on the roster. So he's going to be doing more than being the head coach here because he'll probably be picking his general manager, which is interesting. So we'll get to that coming up. We got a play of the day, stat of the day. We also have a poll question as well. We say good morning to those on chat row, those watching on Peacock, and those listening on our great radio affiliates numbering 400 cities around America. Also, sign up for the newsletter, DP Show newsletter, available daily. And the guys in the back, Mario and Rob the intern, put it out at 6 Eastern, wraps up the show, everything that happened on the show, and things that will happen down the road here. DanPatrick.com, enter your email address in the box that slides out in the bottom right corner. A lot of ways for a disenchanted superstar to find his way to a new team. You can stop showing up. You can go through the motions when you do show up, go through the media, ask your agent to ask for a trade. You can go talk to the owner. Two nights ago, James Harden came out and said things weren't working in Houston. And when I heard this, I said on the show, that's his exit interview. Those are his final comments. I wondered if he would play again. And then, as it turned out, they sort of ramped up the trade talks and we have a deal. Because the Rockets trading Harden to the Nets in the mega deal that will have a big impact on the title race. It should. Harden will team up with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, two players who have had somewhat messy departures from their last teams. And you don't know how these things work out. If you go back to when Kevin Durant joined Golden State, it was incumbent upon Steve Kerr and the other Warriors to accommodate Kevin Durant. You got to have him come in and let him feel like we want you to be successful. We want you to be the star. You can be the go-to guy. It was really important for Draymond Green, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson to welcome in Kevin Durant and make sure that he wasn't the odd man out. Now, it turned out that he was. He was never fully immersed in the Golden State Warriors. He was there. And he was, as we found out, he wasn't there very long. But he was there, he was successful, had the Achilles injury, and then now he's in Brooklyn. If you look at what happened with LeBron, Kevin Love, and Kyrie Irving in Cleveland, you have to have a pecking order. You have to know your place. Kevin Love knew that he was going to play the role of Chris Bosh when LeBron and D-Wade teamed up in Miami. Chris Bosh was as important to that success as anybody was. Because here is a future Hall of Famer, perennial All-Star in Toronto. He goes to Miami, but he knew, I have to be the third guy. Then it was up to LeBron and D-Wade and whose team it was and who gets the last shot and all those things that we try to come up with arguments about. But when you go to a team, you have to know where you stand with everybody because you can't have three alphas in there. Now, as much as Chris Bosh was able to do what he wanted to do in Toronto and get 22 and 12 a night, when he went to Miami, it was, what is my role tonight? What do you need? I'll do that. Kevin Love. Kevin Love put up historically great numbers in Minnesota. One night he had a 30-30 game. He goes to Cleveland. He realizes, hey, I got to be 15-8. Whatever you need me to do, I can do it. I can shoot the three. I'm going to compliment what you guys do. Now you got three alphas here. KD, Kyrie, and James Harden. And right now you got one of them missing. It's fascinating. I thought it was going to be fascinating before they got James Harden. Now you look at this and you say the upside is you guys can win the championship. The downside is it's going to be a mess. And it's not just a mess now. This is a mess that could impact the Nets for a decade. What they gave up, they're rolling the dice that they can bring in James Harden. You got a rookie head coach in Steve Nash. Now, you do have Mike D'Antoni, who coached James Harden, and he's on the bench with Steve Nash, and you're trying to figure all this out. And first of all, you got to figure out Kyrie Irving, because we don't even know where he stands with all of this. Does he want Steve Nash as the head coach? Does he respect him? How's he going to feel that James Harden is going to be ball dominant here? Kevin Durant could have gone anywhere, and he decided he wanted to go with Brooklyn. And he wanted to go and be with his buddy, Kyrie. And now there's varying reports on Kyrie maybe he's a little distant with Kevin Durant. That maybe he doesn't respect Steve Nash, who he thinks may have jumped to the front of the line to become a head coach. Kyrie's not even in uniform, which is amazing. But if you look at what you're doing, you run the risk of adding Harden. And he can be great. But if Harden, Durant, and Irving learn to play together by playoff time, then you have something truly incredible. But these things don't always work out. And trying to figure that out of the chemistry part of this is a delicate balance. Because everybody thinks they're the star. They want their touches. Hey, I used to average 30. You know, Kyrie's going to want it. Crunch time, that's what I'm known for. KD wants to be one of the top 10 players of all time. I want to win championship. Like, there's so much that you throw in here. And then Steve Nash is just trying to establish himself as the voice in that locker room. And good luck with that. McLovin, you got a poll question for me?
Yeah, as you suggested, we talked about before the show, are the Nets the team to beat in the NBA? Basically, will they win a title with this group this year? Or is that even too much to ask right now? I feel like it's a fair question.
Well, we're only 9, 10, 11 games into the season, although we're lopping off 10 games, so it's a little bit more of a shortened season. We're coming off the bubble, guys getting into shape, i.e. James Harden, rookie coach and Steve Nash. Got a good bench, though. Got good assistant coaches there. I think it's asking an awful lot. I think it's an awful lot. The Lakers still have the infrastructure there, and they got better in the offseason. I don't know who else. I think Philadelphia is still the team to beat in the East. And the fact that Philadelphia didn't give up Ben Simmons, which we can talk about because Ben Simmons thought he was going to be traded yesterday. Thought, and then you didn't trade him. If I'm Houston and I look around at what happened, I eventually got Victor Oladipo, who's on an expiring contract. If you get Ben Simmons, you're going to be a good team. You're going to be a playoff team. They got Victor Oladipo, who I don't even know if he'll be there at the end of the season because that expiring contract, somebody may want to pick that up. But, you know, keep this in mind. The Rockets don't even have a first-round pick. It's not like they can tank because Oklahoma City owns Houston's draft pick. And by the way, we get caught up in these draft picks. These draft picks don't mean anything. Because keep in mind, Houston had no draft picks. Remember that? They gave it up for Russell Westbrook. Now they got a bunch of them. It can happen. You can get draft picks back. And we saw a lot of that. I think the Indiana Pacers did a great job in getting Caris LeVert. Now, you're going to say, wait a minute. Through all of this, you're going to go, I think Indiana did extremely well with Caris LeVert. The folks in the Midwest are going to find out you're going to get somebody who shows up, who is really good, plays hard, and is going to be, he's going to fit in with that nucleus that you have. You got Sabonis, and you got Brogdon. And I know Oladipo went to IU. No, he was a Hoosier. Okay. I don't think he wanted to be there. Plus, I don't know how healthy he is, and he's got an expiring contract, and he's going to want a lot of money, and maybe you've seen the best out of him. Pacers did well with Caris LeVert, in my opinion. I love Jared Allen. He was going to get paid. I think he's a really talented young player, team player, energetic player, and now he goes to Cleveland. The Nets don't have defense. They don't have a rim protector here. You know, there's a lot of things you can look at and go, okay, how good are they? I think the Nets go, we're all in. But did you get James Harden because you don't know about Kyrie Irving? How much did that factor in? And coming up, we'll talk to Tim McMahon of ESPN. He's done a great job in covering this trade. Frank Isola, who does pre and post game for the Yes Network, he's a studio host there covering the Nets. He'll join us coming up a little bit later on. All right, any other poll questions there, McLevin?
Well, I just, Paulie and I just say, Malcolm Brogdon. I forgot Malcolm Brogdon was on the Pacers. He's good. He's shooting 48% from three this year.
Yeah, he's played well. He's played well, and he needs to take over that, hey, this is my team. They got Miles Turner. Sabonis has been good. And I like what the Pacers are doing. I don't know if they're challenging anybody in the East, but I like what they did. They got Caris LeVert, and he's a talented player, a young player. And with Houston, Victor Oladipo, okay. I like him. I don't think he wants to stay in Houston. Yeah, McLevin.
One side question we were throwing around. Are you happy if you're a Sixers fan that Ben Simmons was not traded for Harden?
I would be. But, you know, I was told this last night. And this is somebody who is, he's involved in the NBA. I don't want to give too many details, but he's involved in the NBA. He works in the league right now. And he said, he goes, I had to laugh. He goes, I saw the re-air of your, or the podcast. I listened to your podcast and you were talking about, would they trade James Harden to Philadelphia? And I laughed out loud because why would Houston help out the Philadelphia 76ers? Their GM who said, I'm going to take some time off and, you know, step down as the Rockets GM, Daryl Morey, then goes to Philadelphia. They were not going to help out Daryl Morey because Daryl Morey wanted James Harden and they didn't want to give up. They were trying to figure out how can we do this and not give up Ben Simmons. Then they realized they had to give up Ben Simmons. But if I'm Houston and I could have gotten Ben Simmons, I don't think he's a franchise player, but I think he can be a very good player. And they decided that they wanted Victor Oladipo instead. And you got all of these draft picks from the Nets, which I don't even know what it's going to mean, you know, 5 years down the road. It's one of those where you go, you know, 5 years down the road, we're going to go, man, how did they get that guy? Oh, that was the trade with Harden and, Harden, okay. It's almost like you need a map that's going to tell you exactly this went there, that goes there, this goes there, and this is up in 2027. There's an 11-year-old kid right now who's going to be involved in this trade, right? So he's going to be a Houston Rocket. So there's an 11-year-old walking around playing with his Xbox or whatever, and, you know, he's 6'4", and he just started dunking, and he's going to be a Houston Rocket in 2027. I mean, that's how crazy all of this is. Yeah, Paulie.
You know, when the story broke yesterday, I think it was Ramona Shelburne and Woj broke it. It just said James Harden has been traded to the New Jersey Nets. My mind went instantly to, oh, they traded Kyrie Irving for him straight up or, you know, something picks. But I was a little surprised that they didn't use this as an opportunity to dump Kyrie. That was before I knew there was a ton of draft picks involved. That was my first reaction.
Yeah, but if I'm Houston, I don't want Kyrie Irving.
But that's interesting because with the Nets, we think they're going to win titles, or people do.
Well, I'm assuming Kyrie with Kevin Durant, and somehow they make that work, and Kevin Durant had played with James Harden. But if I'm Houston, I don't want a guy that I don't even know. The team can't find the guy that you might want to trade to me. Yeah, McLevin.
Wouldn't that risk making Durant mad if they traded Kyrie too? Because don't they run the,
yeah,
aren't they the
probably
co-coaches? I don't even know what's happening
probably
there.
Yeah, Seton.
Funny, I just keep forgetting that Houston has John Wall now.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, they had a team that could make the playoffs with Harden if he wanted to play, John Wall, Boogie Cousins, Christian Wood. You know, they could be a 5 seed, 4 seed.
Your Rockets?
Seed. They could have been.
But I think they're going to be your Rockets, aren't they now?
They're not my Rockets. But they can be an Oklahoma City type team. They might overachieve, But I think they're going to surprise some people, but I don't think they're going to be consistent. Yeah, Seed.
Man, just a couple of years ago, if you had John Wall, Boogie Cousins, and Victor Oladipo, you're like, all right, that's three I could work with.
Yeah.
Feels a little past its prime, but.
Well, they're all coming off injuries. Yeah, McLevin.
They might be your Rockets if they sign you to a 10-day later when everybody gets hurt.
Yeah, yeah. This program brought to you by M-Drive. Supplement I take every morning. Powerful ingredients backed by science help you be energized, stronger, leaner, and sexier. Go to mdrivedan.com today. Get free shipping. 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't let age beat you. Refine your prime with M-Drive.
That's not in the copy, by the way.
What is it?
Sexier.
Oh, it's not?
I don't think that's in the copy.
Let me read that again.
But it's accurate. It is accurate. Got to say.
Guys,
gotta admit.
The supplement I take every day is M-Drive. Powerful ingredients backed by science. Help you get energized, stronger, leaner, and sexier.
Oh, I'm sorry. My mistake.
Yeah, it's right here.
Yeah. My apologies.
I mean, your results may vary, but go to mdrivedan.com.
They're not going
to
vary much.
Yeah. Hey, Todd.
How's it going?
Yeah, good. Did you just get here?
I just got here like 2 minutes ago.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, it was traffic.
Good to see you. Good to see you. All right, so we got a lot to talk about, but Tim McMahon, ESPN NBA reporter, will join us. And did they make this deal because they're not quite sure about if Kyrie Irving wants to play anymore? Yeah, Paulie?
I have a bet. James Harden's first game as a Brooklyn Net. Is Kyrie Irving also on the floor with him?
No.
Isn't that weird?
No.
That you'd lean towards no. He's perfectly healthy and ready to play.
He's got Zoom calls to be on. There's birthday parties to go to. Come on, Paulie. He can't make time for a game. A game?
How weird is that?
Oh, man. I would like to say, yeah, it's weird, but in today's sports society, it's not weird, which is saying a whole lot. All right, so we'll talk about the playoffs, the NFL playoffs coming up. I'm curious, the player who has the most pressure on him in this year's NFL playoffs. With the remaining games here, which player has the most pressure going in to these games this weekend? All right, 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DPShow. We'll talk some hoops, and if you're the Lakers, how concerned are you with what happened yesterday in Brooklyn? We're back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. Discover the Discover credit card. It's one of those where you go, this card is accepted everywhere. 99% of the places in the United States taking credit cards. But Discover gives you a whole lot more than just, hey, I can charge this on my credit card. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year automatically, and there's no limit on how much you can earn. And it's amazing, even more amazing because of all the places where Discover is accepted. So when it comes to using your Discover credit card, get used to hearing the word yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2020 Nielsen Report limitations apply. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. You can go the extra mile. Your very own upfitted Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van, you could win this in Fox Sports Radio's Ultimate Tailgate Rig Sweepstakes. To enter, get official rules, visit foxsportsradio.com or danpatrick.com by January 24th, Mercedes-Benz vans. Once again, the headline starting the show, Adam Schefter reports Jacksonville and Urban Meyer are in advanced talks to see if they can finalize a deal. Per league sources, they met yesterday, and I think they met on Shad Khan's yacht, which would be a home field advantage, a home sea advantage, I would think, for Shad Khan. Come on into my yacht here. Yes, Paul.
See, I think that's a mistake by Shad Khan. I've seen that yacht, and that's like the yacht. There's only like five in the world that big. You know, if you're negotiating a contract with Urban Meyer, you can't like, well, you know, we can't really afford $9 million. You're on this yacht that has 18 bathrooms.
Why is it that every time I went into management, hey, we got to tighten the budget here. Like no boss I ever had when I went in to negotiate a contract said, are you kidding me? We got so much bleeping money. What do you want? Yeah, see.
Shad Khan's yacht is so awesome. It has its own Wikipedia page.
I've seen it in person. It's got a helipad.
Oh, yeah. Most of those guys have those.
It's got a boat on the back of it, like a jet ski boat, like a jet boat, like a eight-person.
Yeah, but Paul Allen had a submarine on his boat.
Topper.
Yes, yes. See,
you can rent it if you want.
Shad Khan's yacht?
Yeah, there's like a per-week charter fee. Do you want to guess how much it is per week?
Per week. $500,000? A million?
Oh, are you going to do it midweek, like Tuesday through Thursday, Dan?
Yeah,
discounted rate? $1.2 million.
Okay.
Per week.
All right.
And, but now that is excluding food, fuel, and dockage costs. So you still got to pay for all that, too.
Oh, boy. Let me bring in Tim McMahon, the ESPN NBA reporter, who's done a great job keeping an eye on the James Harden situation. And, Tim, thanks for joining us. If I had you on yesterday at this time, what would you have said was going to happen in Houston with James Harden?
Well, I would have said that a trade is closer to happening than not. You know, obviously, I think the trade was close to being completed, or they knew that they were close to a trade, whether it was going to be Philly or Brooklyn. And then Harden's performance Tuesday night, and by performance, I don't mean 5-16 from the floor. I mean, the post-game press conference was basically his way of saying, hey, I'm pretty much to the other side of the bridge, so let me just burn this, and you know, you guys can figure out the rest.
Do you think he knew he was going to be traded? It was a trade was imminent with what he – because I said the same thing yesterday morning when I heard that. I said, that's his exit interview. He's basically saying, see ya. Do you think he knew at that time that he was going to be traded?
Well, I think he knew that it was very close to happening, and he wanted to make sure it happened, you know. So, again, whether it was Philly or Brooklyn, he was fine with either place. Obviously, he wanted to get out of Houston. Those were the top two teams on his list. And I think that was his way of saying, hey, I'm done here. You figure out which one of those two teams I'm going to, but I'm done with the Rockets.
It's a tricky legacy with James Harden. I don't know if he cares about his legacy, but you wrote a column on this exact topic here. How do you think Houston will remember James Harden?
That it is. It's tricky, complicated, whatever you want to say. Look, you know, with all due respect to Moses Malone, I would say James Harden is the second best player in franchise history behind only Hakeem Olajuwon. Obviously, the huge difference there is Hakeem Olajuwon delivered two championships to Houston. Harden was never able to get the Rockets even to the NBA Finals. And I mean, it didn't work out with Dwight Howard. That went up in smoke. Chris Paul went up in smoke even quicker. Russell Westbrook, his old friend from L.A., and an old OKC teammate, 1 year, and they were ready to both, you know, go other places. And and then just the way it ended, obviously, that's going to be bitter. You know, at the same time, it was eight mostly great years, individually brilliant years from James Harden. Gave the Rockets a chance to at least be contenders for most of that time. And it's funny because Rockets fans for so much of that time were kind of defending James Harden, who was the superstar the rest of the league's fans loved to hate, hated his style of play and all that. Rockets fans spent so much time kind of getting this guy's back, and their reward is no championship parade and pretty much a slap in the face on the way out of town.
We'll talk about the Nets and getting James Harden and what that means, but how did the Rockets do in this trade?
Well, look, this obviously was about trying to set themselves up for a rebuild, and the Rockets did not get the young franchise cornerstone that they insisted they needed to get in a James Harden deal. They could have. They could have had Ben Simmons, but they made the decision that they would rather have just, I mean, a historic bundle of unprotected first-round picks. And so, look, those picks, Kevin Durant, James Harden, Kyrie Irving will be long gone, and the Rockets are still going to be making picks that are the New York or the Brooklyn Nets. So I think you look at just the bundle of picks and say, hey, you know, that's a historic haul. And I think realistically, as far as a team entering a rebuild, that's a good return.
But I don't even know if Victor Oladipo is going to be there by season's end. Right?
No question about that. Look, Victor Oladipo, you can tell why did they flip Caris LeVert for Victor Oladipo? I think the first thing you look at is the contracts. LeVert is owed 36 plus mil over the, you know, two seasons past this one. Oladipo's an expiring contract. So they kind of get a chance to bring Oladipo in, you know, take a look at him, figure out, hey, is this a guy that we want to pay this offseason. He's going to get paid because there's, that free agency class has been picked pretty thin. Or is it a guy who maybe, he might not even be there after the trade deadline. Maybe they flip him again and, continue to kind of add to their pick stockpile.
I like what the Pacers did. I like Caris LeVert a lot, and I got a chance to see him a lot when, when Kyrie was injured and that younger team kind of came to life there. And even Jared Allen in Cleveland, he's an energy guy, team guy. Maybe we don't need rim protectors, but I thought this is sort of those, after the dust settles, people go, oh, that's right. Indiana looks pretty good. When Warren comes back, they have Turner, they have Sabonis, they have Brogdon. They have a pretty good nucleus, not depth, but they got a good nucleus. And then with Cleveland getting Jared Allen, I think he's a bona fide starting player who can put up a double-double every night. Your thoughts on
that? No, I agree with you. I think both of those teams that were brought into the deal really benefited. And for Indiana, Victor Oladipo was not going to be back there next year. So this is a chance to get a guy who can be a 20-ish point per game scorer. The Rockets did not consider him to be a franchise cornerstone, and I think that's accurate. But, at a place like Indiana, I think he fits very well with Malcolm Brogdon in that backcourt, with Sabonis is really kind of their franchise player. I think it's the contract is reasonable for a guy who has proven he can be as productive as he has been. And then I thought it was a great deal for Cleveland. When you look at the backcourt that they're building around, they kind of hope those young players, the Sexland backcourt, which is one of the great nicknames in the league, they hope those guys can kind of develop into a Blazers East sort of backcourt. And there's been really encouraging signs of progress from them. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to start two smallest scoring guards, you better get a really good rim protector behind them. They will benefit from having a lob threat. And look, Jared Allen, they will pay him this summer. But at 22, he really fits with what they're building in Cleveland.
All right, let's get to the Nets now, on and off the court. We're talking to Tim McMahon, ESPN NBA reporter. Where's Kyrie Irving, and how does he fit into all of this?
Last I saw him, he was on Zoom.
Okay. All right.
Look, I think that it is reasonable to look at this trade in some ways as Kyrie Irving insurance. And, the Nets really amped up what they were willing to offer in terms of the draft compensation. That's what got this over the finish line. They amped that up since Kyrie has been, whatever you want to call it, AWOL. Here's the deal. Kevin Durant, even coming off the Achilles, is a bona fide superstar in his prime. You've basically got two more guaranteed years with him, and then he can become a free agent. So you have to, or at least you really want to, if you're the Nets, maximize your opportunity to win a championship with him. You need to have not just a co-star, but another superstar to pair with him to do that. They bring in James Harden. He's, say what you want, he's a dude who can efficiently put up 35 points and 8 or 10 assists. There ain't too many of those dudes walking the face of the earth. And honestly, at this point, what they get from Kyrie, you can almost look at it as bonus.
When James Harden makes his debut with the Nets, is Kyrie Irving on the floor?
No, because first of all, I don't know when, and I'm not sure anybody with the Nets even knows when Kyrie is going to decide that, okay, this little sabbatical's over, I'm coming back to work. But when he does, even if he called them this morning and said, hey, I'm coming back, the league office is like, okay, great, Kyrie. Well, guess what? You're going to have to sit for a while because you blatantly violated the league's health and safety protocols, just like Harden had to. He didn't end up missing a game because he helped get a game postponed.
But we're so casual about this, Tim. Like, Kyrie Irving is missing right in front of our very eyes.
It's bizarre. But you know what? I mean, Kyrie kind of, obviously, he's a guy who marches to the beat of his own drum. And really, the confusing thing is, I understood with Harden. Harden, let's be honest, he was trying to be as big of a pain in the ass as possible because he wanted to get the hell out of Houston. I don't know what Kyrie's intent is here, because he's where he wanted to be. He chose to go to Brooklyn. He's playing with Kevin Durant, the guy he wanted to team up with. So this is obviously it's not a situation where he's unhappy about his employer. So you know, at some point, Kyrie Irving will offer at least his version of an explanation. I certainly can't give it to you.
Yeah, he probably won't. He probably will feel like he doesn't need to.
He'll say a lot of words, and then we'll have to figure out whether they actually mean anything.
How do you think the Lakers view this trade? Should they be nervous?
Honestly, I think the Lakers, and you saw or you heard Anthony Davis after last night's game. He basically says, yeah, well, it looks good on paper. We'll see how it looks on the floor. I think the Lakers feel like if they're healthy and if they're playing up to their potential, it doesn't matter who they run up against. I mean, LeBron in year 18 still looks like, if not the best player in the league, he's definitely in that conversation. And Anthony Davis is in that conversation. They've got a night. They upgraded the supporting cast around those guys. This is after they cruised through the playoffs to a championship last year. I don't think the Lakers are losing any sleep over what Brooklyn did. Maybe they meet in the finals, maybe they don't. But, again, it's not disrespect to the Nets. I just think the Lakers probably look at the situation and say, hey, we're the best team in the league, and nothing has changed.
Did the 76ers win yesterday?
I think Doc Rivers won yesterday. I think Ben Simmons won yesterday. I believe if this was up to Daryl Morey, James Harden would be in Philadelphia and Ben Simmons would be in Houston now. But the Sixers have played very well this season. The Simmons and Embiid thing with the new pieces around them, the spacing around them, looks like it's a compatible duo again. And I know it was not anything close to a consensus decision within that Sixers organization, that trading young Ben Simmons for 31-year-old James Harden, plus whatever you had to throw in the deal, would have been a good move for the Sixers. So I think Philly's just fine not having gotten James Harden.
Oh, man. If I talk to you in a month with the Nets, what are we talking about?
Your guess is as good as mine. Look, first of all, again, Kyrie is just a wild card at this point. Like, even if he decides to come back, who knows? Who knows with him? He's obviously an immense talent, but he's not a teammate you can count on. Doesn't mean he's a bad person. He's done great things in the community, so on and so forth. But just in terms of an employee on a basketball team, he is completely unreliable. He's also ridiculously talented. And again, whether they have Kyrie or not, James Harden, Kevin Durant, the two best scorers in the league on one team, the Nets are going to score a ton of points. They're going to win a lot of 135, 128 type of games. Will they be able to play good enough defense to make a four-series run through the playoffs? I will believe that when I see it. I don't think that we're looking at the Nets suddenly as the no-doubt favorites in the Eastern Conference, much less in the NBA.
Thank you, Tim, for taking some time. We appreciate it. Good luck.
Appreciate you having me.
That's Tim McMahon, ESPN NBA reporter. Yeah, it's one of those unanswerable questions. What are we talking about a month from now with the Nets? Are we going, man, did you see the Nets last night? Or did you go, man, what's happened to the Nets? How do you fix the Nets? Is Steve Nash going to keep his job? KD can't be happy. Are they going to share the ball a little bit more? Boy, they're going to score 140 points every single game. Like, it, you could throw out every one of these things, and they could all be true. Yeah, McLovin.
I'm a little disappointed that KD is not trying to do this on his own, because if they do win, they're going to be like, oh, he just had to join another super team or be another super team. So if you're going to be a top five player of all time, isn't that going to sort of be back to detracting from KD's legacy?
Well, he did have Harden and Westbrook in Oklahoma City. They didn't win. He had Westbrook. They were up, what, 3-1 on Golden State, and they lost. Would you rather have a championship with help or not have a championship and you did it on your own?
But remember, everybody killed him for joining Golden State.
Yeah.
I watched him last night against said, I don't feel like he needs
people,
hard enough.
People killed LeBron when he joined Miami.
I know.
And the reason why he joined Miami is because of people like us. The media kept saying, well, you can't be the chosen one. You can't be the king unless you win championships. And he realized that nobody was going to go to Cleveland. And he went to Miami. And then he went back because they had Kyrie. He talked Kevin Love into joining him. Then they won a championship there. Then he goes to L.A. Hey, I got to win more championships. I want Anthony Davis. Yeah, but you got this young nuclear. Hey, I don't care about that. I don't have time to wait for them to develop. Go trade everybody for Anthony Davis. LeBron's done it, but LeBron has moved up the ladder of now it's him and Jordan as greatest players of all time. If he didn't have titles, LeBron would not be anywhere near the conversation of greatest player of all time, whether that's fair or not. Yeah, McLovin.
But doesn't everybody fall in line when LeBron's there? He's like such a great leader, too, where I don't think KD, people believe that Kevin Durant can be a leader like that. So I think everyone's worried that, like, you know, who's really leading this team? And is there, if there's five leaders, are there no leaders?
Well, LeBron's passive aggressive. Now, it feels like he'll be one thing, but he's really doing something else. And, you know, he's orchestrating this. He's a GM. Durant is just passive. Now, he might be passive aggressive on social media, but LeBron is looking at this as if he were a GM. How do I get the pieces I need to win a championship? And he realized that, you know, that young nucleus was not going to bring him a championship in LA. But he did realize we can get Anthony Davis. And if he's represented by the same people who represent me, we can figure this out and I can get here. I can win another championship. And then if LeBron wins one more championship and ends as the all-time leading scorer, top 10 in assists and steals, now we got a conversation. So in LeBron's mind, this is about where am I going to stand when this is all said and done? All right, I'll take the Heat in Miami. No pun intended. You can criticize me, but I got a couple of titles. I go back to Cleveland. No one can criticize LeBron. He went back to Cleveland. He won a title. He beat Golden State. Do you go to the Lakers? All right. Did he mail it in a little bit that first year? Looked out of shape. Didn't care. Yep. And then he got Anthony Davis. And now look at them. They're the favorites again this year. Yes, Heaton.
Yeah, Anthony Davis, when he left the Pelicans, took a lot of heat, you know, for quitting on that team. Right, that last year that he was there, he pretty much quit on them and wanted out and forced his way out and was being a diva and all that stuff. And now he's got a ring and a big fat check, so that pretty much worked out well for him.
Yeah, I think that when you get that championship, and like we moved on with Anthony Davis, and it was a smaller market in New Orleans that he did it to. It wasn't the right thing to do, but you know, he had the T-shirt, that's all, folks. But you know, Anthony Davis is not, he's not polarizing. You know, you don't have a strong opinion of it. Nobody knows Anthony Davis. They're like, boy, that guy's really good. You know, yes, he is really good. But when you win that champion, like John Elway saying, I don't want to go to Baltimore. Well, you go to Denver, you win some Super Bowls, people forget all about that. Take a break. Phone calls, play of the day up next. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Oh, my God.
The play. The play is called play. Of the day.
Runner left side, got it!
I'm going to play it and play it.
This is the play of the day.
Check this out.
And they're going to hold for the last shot.
I think he's going to take a timeout.
Nope. He's going to play it out. I like it. On the road. McClung for the win.
Oh, my goodness.
Matt McClung with 2.2 left. You will not find a bigger three-pointer made in Big 12 play.
Texas Tech over number 4 Texas, 79-77. Red Raiders will host number 2 Baylor on Saturday. It's courtesy of ESPN2. If the name sounds familiar, Mac McClung, he's a transfer from Georgetown his first season with the Red Raiders. Play of the day brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the Sprinter van. You can sign up to win it. Fox Sports Radio's Ultimate Tailgate Rig Sweepstakes. To enter, get official rules, visit foxsportsradio.com or visit danpatrick.com by January 24th. Mercedes-Benz vans. If I told you a month ago, James Harden's going to be a Brooklyn Net, or Urban Meyer's going to be a head coach at Jacksonville Jaguars, you'll go, yeah, I could see Harden going to the Nets. But Urban Meyer, they're inching closer to Urban Meyer back in the coaching world. Ellen in Wisconsin. Ellen, welcome to the program.
Well, thanks for taking my call. I have two suggestions and a prediction. My first suggestion is for a poll would be how many minutes poor Kevin Durant's going to have to play after they don't have any bench. My other suggestion would be if the NBA could do a Hard Knocks thing, oh, watching the Nets locker room would be must-see TV. And my other my prediction would be that Kyrie will come back after Harden's first game when he rolls in about 45 and starts getting a lot of love in the media. Then Kyrie will find Jesus and get back in the lineup. Thanks
all
for
right.
taking my call.
Thank you, Ellen. Thank you, Ellen. Which one do you think is going to be more successful? The Nets, James Harden and company, the Jags, Urban Meyer? Going to take a little while with Urban Meyer with the Jags. It's not official yet, but the potential for disaster and a mess, I'd say Brooklyn. Is Brooklyn more interesting to root for or less interesting? Like, are you more likely to root for Brooklyn now than you were before? Like, this is the least like who would be up there? Now, they, you know, LeBron's going to be polarizing to certain people in the media. But as far as a team that you go, I don't want them to succeed. Brooklyn is your winner. Ding, 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 ding. Yes, Eden.
It was for a little while, the Warriors, but then KD left yeah. there and went to Brooklyn, and now it's Brooklyn.
Ding, so. Ding, 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 ding. Yeah,
common thread.
Wouldn't you say, though, until recently, Harden's been a pretty well-liked athlete nationally? Kids like him. He seemed to be pretty fun, and he played well with the media. But the past couple months, it's gone the opposite way. But past 5 years, he's been pretty popular.
Well, I think we looked at him as a curiosity, a fascination. He's a regular season fascination. That's how I view him. Postseason, not so much. But he is must-see TV, I found, during the regular season. I loved watching him. I didn't want him on my team, loved watching him. But to see how this works in Brooklyn, and I'm guessing management went to KD. I don't know if they went to Kyrie, but I'm sure they went to KD and said, hey, we can reunite you with James Harden. And KD's probably saying, can it get crazier? Let's see. Bring him in. James Harden is the fifth player to be traded in the season immediately after leading the NBA in scoring. The first since Tracy McGrady joined Houston back in 2004. George Yardley in 1957. Oh, he was a good one. Wilt in 1963. Bob McAdoo left my Buffalo Braves to go to the Knicks. McGrady left Orlando to go to Houston. And now James Harden, Houston, to Brooklyn. Coming up next hour, Frank Isola, the great NBA reporter. He covers the Nets. He'll join us, get his thoughts on this deal. And when will we see Kyrie Irving? One more item here. We close out the first hour. I came in today, full disclosure, and Todd looks at me and he goes, oh, my gosh, you have so much energy. I'm trying to keep up with you, and you're older than I am. And I said, yes, I am taking care of myself. I'm taking a supplement called M-Drive, everyday supplement for driven guys just like me. I keep energized. I'm lean. I'm strong. It was about 10 years ago. M-Drive was created by an elite scientist. He made it for himself. He just said, hey, I don't want to get old, or at least feel like I'm getting old. He refused to let age beat him. So how do you feel today? You feel tired? You gain weight? Lose your drive? You don't want to work out? Are you eating right? Well, you got to fight back. Try M-Drive for yourself, everyday supplement for driven guys. Now, they have a lot of different things to help you, but try the everyday supplement. Start out with that. Energy, strength, drive. Go to mdrivedan.com today. Get free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee. So don't let age beat you. Go to mdrivedan.com, and you can refind your prime with M-Drive.